News Talk 770 AM. Yep, 92.5 FM. WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Time now for, 2:22. No, it's not 4:22 yet, Phil. It's 2:22 p.m. Some of y'all are thinking, it's time to go home. No, not yet. you got time left. Hey, listen, let me just tell you, too, real quickly. I try to plug this occasionally. I want to direct y'all to our website, rightsideradio.org. Got a lot going on there. And listen, it never ends. I mean, there's so much happening with this show these days. And I've got a new piece that came out today, a written piece that's up there on the website, coming out soon, I think. And then podcast is on there. We are like over 37,000, I think almost 38,000 downloads now on the podcast. Going to hit 40,000 soon. That's on there. And the other thing is, if you get yourself outside of the overly broad range, I like to say, of our AM/FM capabilities here at WVNN, it does not matter. Does not matter at all. You can just go to rightsideradio.org, click on Listen Live, and no matter where you are in the whole wide world, there we are too. No matter where you is, there we is what I usually say. So yeah, folks, rightsideradio.org. It's got all of our stuff on there. So please, check it out. And you might even find some things on there like, you know, if you want to get a Right Side t-shirt or a coffee mug, the Right Side store is on there too. All right, there's that. Copper, you had a caller a minute ago. What was that?
Oh, that's right. Brian from Huntsville called and said he really enjoyed that segment and it reminded him of Churchill's speech, never give up.
Oh, wow. Well, I am flattered by that, Brother Brian, but I don't ever want to, you know, sound like I'm trying to compare myself to Churchill, but I'll take that as a huge compliment, so thank you much. But it's true. I mean, not the part about Churchill, the part about what I said is true. It ain't over till it's over. I mean, golly bum. And I think nowadays we have to have more of that attitude as we go forward, more of it, because it ain't getting any easier right now, if you notice that. Now, I do believe this. I think a part of what we're seeing is like the flailing of a drowning man. I think that we're watching right now, the liberals are scrambling to get as much as they can because they know they're not going to get much more after November. I think we're going to see a tidal wave of public sentiment go to the polls in November. In fact, I'll tell you what, Copper, I sent you some audio on this one. There's a clip one, Trey Gowdy. Go ahead and grab that real quick. See if you can get it ready. It's only a 16-second clip. But he says almost verbatim what I just said, kind of ad hoc here. He says it quite well, that like the southern border, for instance, that I'm going to get into in a minute, the southern border is going to come back in November. If the Biden administration thinks that people are going to forget, no, we're not going to forget. In fact, how can we forget when it's an ongoing thing? It's like what in the law we might call a continuous tort. It never stops. It's ongoing. You got it ready, Copper? Let's just do that. Let's go ahead and play clip one. Trey Gowdy, the November midterms are coming. Go ahead and play it.
Americans do not like chaos or fraud or being taken advantage of. To the extent this administration doesn't get that, I'll bet that message and others will be delivered loudly come November.
Great clip. Great clip. And I'm just saying, that's the attitude we have to take. You know what? If we could vote tomorrow, we would. But if we have to wait till November, we will. By God, it ain't over. Because it ain't over. And it ain't over till it's over. And so I'm just saying, all of these things that we're seeing right now, I really believe that at first I felt like what we were looking at was an emboldened left, which I think to some degree we do have. We have an emboldened left. They are feeling their oats, if you will. They are saying, hey, man, we got away with the whole Black Lives Matter riots during the pandemic and the shutdowns, and we even closed churches, and we were able to keep, you know, abortion centers open while we shut down stores and churches and all of it. It was great. And then we still burned down cities and no one said a word. But then when they tried to gather and have conservative rallies, we were able to get it stopped. And then on top of that, they're looking at state legislatures doing things to the elections that were, or actually it wasn't even legislatures. It was more along the lines of secretaries of state and governors and mayors sometimes doing things to elections that shouldn't have been done. All these things, I think they were feeling pretty saucy, you know, feeling a little good about themselves. Now I think, though, I feel like there's been a shifting. I feel like what we're seeing right now is the flailing, you know, motions of a drowning man. What we're looking at right now is they recognize they're taking on water, and it's not going to hold up in the long term. Got to get as much as we can while we can. I mean, why do you think that they pretty much forced the retirement of a Supreme Court Justice, Stephen Breyer? Why do you think they did that? Because they know that after the November elections, they will be far less likely to get anyone confirmed. And by the way, I hope that if anybody else winds up leaving their seat on the Supreme Court after November, I hope that, you know, that Mitch McConnell or whoever is going to wind up being in charge then. In fact, I wouldn't mind if it wasn't Mitch McConnell, but I hope that whoever winds up being in charge of a new Republican majority just tells them to pound sand, we'll wait a couple years because it's too big of a deal. I think what we're seeing right now, and this soliloquy that I'm in right now is totally unprepared. I'm just telling you what's on in my head. All right, I really think right now we are watching the flailings of a drowning. I was trained as a lifeguard some years back, and I remember getting my, you know, going through my lifeguard training and having to tread water with bricks and do all the craziness and things I didn't know I could do. And I probably I couldn't do it now, but I was doing all the things it took to be a lifeguard, right? One of the things that I remember being taught was that in trying to rescue someone who was drowning, that they will drown you trying to save themselves. And you have to know how best to approach. You don't just approach them willy-nilly, and you literally have to know what it takes to spin them around so that you are out of their grasp and then bring them back to shore, you know, facing away from you, basically. Put one hand under their chin and tow them back to shore. Because the flailings of a drowning man will try and take you down. And that's where I feel like we are right now in left politics. I think what we're seeing is an overreach because they're desperate and because they know that they're not going to have anything after November. I think what we're seeing is the flailings of a drowning progressive movement. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to be gone forever. Not at all. What I am saying, though, is that I really believe that they recognize the handwriting on the wall and the air of desperation among the left is becoming more and more and increasingly difficult. All that to say, we on the other side have to be willing to say it ain't over till it's over. We on the conservative side of public policy and politics have to be willing to say, we're going to take this thing to the finish line because it ain't over till it's over, and it's way too important to sit back. Way too important. They are drowning under their own weight, and we're going to be there in the end. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, fired up, downright mad maybe. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Going to move to number one on the triple dipper here, but I got to tell you first before I do, I hope you heard the ad a moment ago for 1819news.com. They've got my latest piece out. Copper also publishes something that comes out statewide through 1819 as well, once a week. On top of that, I got to tell you, one of the things that I enjoy the most, aside from the fact that I know the folks that run 1819 News, I know them well and I feel good about who they are, is like, what's your alternatives? AL.com? Just a moment ago, during the break, literally, I was sitting there looking and my buddy Jeff Poor was tweeting at an AL.com reporter who was referring to birthing people, or birthing, I think she called them birthing folks. Birthing folks. What is a birthing folk? Last I checked, women had the babies, men did not. That's the natural order of things, right? Well, AL.com is about birthing folks and about birthing people. And it's just ridiculous. Well, at 1819, you're getting straight news. You're not getting the skew written into the stories. Now, they're going to wind up having great editorial content. You know, well, I just said that Copper and I both write there. I guess that has called us great, Copper. But nonetheless, what I'm saying is, they're going to have editorial content on 18, and they separate it out on 1819 News. They separate out the editorial content so that you know that the news is calling the balls and strikes as they come, period. doesn't always go in the Republicans' favor, if you know what I mean. Sometimes the news says, nope, you did that wrong. But it's news, and it's reported. And it's 1819news.com. That's named for the year that we became a state because they love the state. And one of the things I like there is you also find that they report the stuff that makes you glad to live in Alabama. So there you go. 1819news.com. It's 1819news.com. Check it out. Okay, the border wars, number one. And if you want to call in and talk about the southern border, call on in, 866-494-9866. I just, you know, played you the Trey Gowdy clip that he believes that it will come. I believe, too. I believe that it will come back in the midterm elections. I mean, most Americans really do believe that countries that have borders should be allowed to know who is coming in and out for what purpose. I mean, it's not too much to ask, is it? It's like having a door on your house. I mean, do you have people that just walk in and out of your house and get stuff out of your refrigerator and walk back out? You don't know who they are? No, of course not. And if you did, they might get shot, right? Well, I'm not advocating shooting people at the southern border. But what I'm saying is you should have a right to know who is coming in your doorway and rummaging around in your kitchen, period. Americans believe that there should be a process for entering the country, a process that is indeed logical, a process that is in the best interest of our country. And truthfully, a lot of Americans, most Americans, I would say, are wondering what in God's name is happening down there. Why is there like this complete, you know, kind of like see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil about the southern border? Why is that? Well, I'll be honest with you. I've got a story here. Let me pull that one. It's like number two in my stack. I've got a story here from the Washington Examiner. Dated this to me a few days ago. And they call it the deliberate plan. The deliberate plan. That's right. The deliberate plan behind the border crisis. Well, I do not disagree. And this article from the Washington Examiner points out, we're in the midst of the single worst immigration crisis that our country has ever experienced. That's the leadoff phrase from the story. Yeah, I don't disagree. And it also goes on to say, it's become clear over the past 14 months, the Biden administration has no interest in securing the border. Never mind the national interest. The Biden administration has no personal interest in securing our southern border. They literally, they are literally taking steps to make it more difficult. This past fiscal year saw the highest number of illegal apprehensions on record, and right now we are on pace to beat that. So the first year of the Biden administration set awful records. The second year of the Biden administration is breaking those awful records. One of the things that just transpired is that Title 42, you may have heard this. Title 42 is a policy that was put in place under the Trump administration. Well, it must be bad. If the orange man signed off on it, it must be bad. Don't let it happen. Well, it's happening. They're going to do away with it. Title 42, it was nothing except to say another tool in the toolkit for our men and women of the CBP, the Customs and Border Patrol, to be able to take those who are falsely seeking asylum, who have been coached on the southern side of the border, hey, when you get there, you know, just habla a little bit about how scary it is back home and that you are seeking asylum. That's what you got to say. That's all you got to say. Well, they do. They come in here. They know exactly what to say. They say that, except that Title 42, because of the pandemic, allowed for the United States to send them back anyway if they were deemed to have come from a country where COVID protocols were not strong enough. Okay. Why are we rescinding that? I mean, if you're going to tell me that COVID is over, then just tell me it's over. But don't be up in D.C. still wearing masks at meetings and requiring, you know, masks on airline flights and seeking billions of more dollars from Congress to fund COVID relief efforts under the Biden administration. But you're going to lift the protocols at the southern border, which basically means we have now zero means of sending them back. That's where we are. That's what's happening. Washington Examiner says deliberate plan behind the border crisis, and I totally agree. Now, you may have heard, I love this story, you may have heard that Texas is saying, you know what, here's what we're going to do. Now, Texas, they got an uphill climb. story off Fox News dated today. No, I'm sorry. Dated this weekend. Texas Attorney General Paxton invites a legal fight with the Biden administration over busing migrants to D.C., saying, quote, I'm daring them. You know what? This is where we are. A few years ago, Alabama passed a pro-life law, which I'll actually talk about later. We passed it with the intent of picking a legal fight. It's kind of like that scene from Braveheart. Where are you going? I'm going to pick a fight. Oh, well, that's where we are right now. The realization has become, you know what? They are constantly taking us to court. How about we just invite them to take us to court? How about we make them? How about we make them go on the record? How about we make them pay their attorneys to try and beat what we're doing in court? And there's times when that's frivolous and it shouldn't be done. There's other times, though, when, like I say in my article before this morning, it's a fight worth having. Well, Texas right now knows that it's poised for a legal, you know, showdown with the Biden administration. They know they are. And Republican Attorney General Ken Paxton, he ain't playing. He's saying, I'm daring them to. And there was a Supreme Court case in 2012 during the Obama era called Arizona v. United States. It prevents states from making their own immigration policies. And it's, you know, this article points out that's going to be a problem for Texas. But Attorney General Paxton says, you know, we also have a new Supreme Court. And we think they might visit this. And we see this Supreme, this is me talking now, we see the Supreme Court these days as being willing to devolve questions of jurisdiction and of legal interpretation and of setting your own policies and procedures and laws to the states, which was the founder's intent, really, in most of it. All that to say, right now, Texas is banking on the fact that we have a Supreme Court that seems more willing to say that. So, heck, why not? Let's do it, fellas. Buss them. So Texas is loading up. They say they're going to load up illegal immigrants, drive them in a bus to D.C., and let them out at the U.S. Capitol and let them figure it out, because apparently that's the Biden administration's role. Jen Psaki, you know, in her final days, apparently, as press secretary, because she's already got her well-paid gig at MSNBC lined up. So I think it's pretty clear this is a publicity stunt. I know the governor of Texas or any state does not have the legal authority to compel anyone to get on a bus. Now, let me just tell you this. I don't know about the busing part, but I do know this. We've already fought this. I remember one of the most contentious things that I ever fought when I was in the state legislature was an immigration bill we had. And what happened? They went straight to court. We knew they would. It was still a fight worth having. Oh, you passed a law and you didn't know whether it would hold up. You never know where a law is going to hold up. And if you get the right judge, any law can get struck down. But we also knew that doing nothing was not an option. So we passed a bill that, if I had to paraphrase it, all that particular piece of immigration legislation did. My friend Scott Beeson was the guy who carried it. He's now got a radio show too, by the way. But that piece of legislation, literally, if I had to paraphrase it, what it said was, hey, federal government, if you're not going to enforce your federal immigration laws, we'll enforce them for you using state assets. Why is that a problem? You would have thought that we were literally trying to shave the heads of every third person in Alabama. I mean, we had protests in the state house, the likes of which I'm not sure I recall. I mean, we had plenty of times when, you know, a large gathering would come through. Most of the time, though, they were there to sort of educate you and plead for something like, you know, autism support or whatever. No, these were radical protesters, bunch of wild-eyed individuals, some of them, who stood in the hallways trying to block us from going up and down the hallway to vote on the bill. I'll never forget that we had the chimes that would ring. I was in my office. The chimes rang. Time to go vote. I got up from my desk, excused myself from whoever I was meeting with, and made my way down the hallway and had to really, they had to call security because they were blocking us in the hallway. They were locking elbows, trying not to let us through. I had somebody try and elbow me in the ribs as I went, elbow me in the ribs on my way to the Senate chamber to cast my vote. And folks, I'm going to tell you, it's a fight worth having. Our southern border is completely out of control. I tell you what, Copper, we got to take a break right now. I'm up against that hard time. I just see that we got a caller on line three. So go ahead and ask him if he would please to hold on through the break or call right back, because I definitely want to hear from him. He's always got great input. But yeah, we'll do that when we get back. We are talking about the southern border, where right now apprehensions are through the roof and expected to get worse. Right now they are predicting upwards of 18,000 apprehensions a day. A day. Once Title 42 is rescinded. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, I got a caller that held on during line to on line three, and I appreciate that. So let me just go ahead and grab that right now. Sparky from Harvest. Hey, Sparky, how you doing, man?
Hey, Phil. Thanks for all you and Copper do.
Thank you, sir.
Hey,
what's up?
I get to thinking any time the topic of illegal immigration comes up, and I think the Republicans and conservatives desire to improve the way we legally and lawfully immigrate people, but completely stop illegal immigration if you can. And the gleeful manner in which the Democrats currently in power have just decided to open the floodgates, but nobody ever discusses the long game. Why in the world would anybody in their right mind want thousands and thousands of illegals flooding into this nation? And there's a lot of nuance to some of the smaller reasons, but I think most diehard liberals would say it's because of care and compassion for these poor people. They can have a better life here. And I don't really believe that, not for one second, because you demonstrate your intentions with your actions, not with words. And I think people would go out of their way to have illegals bust up to their D.C. and their location, right, if they cared about them.
Yeah.
No, the long game is they want thousands and thousands and the thousands of people that come here, get free stuff, and turn around and will be guaranteed to vote Democrat for life, and therefore thereby giving the Democrats a lifelong supermajority and virtually undefeatable the minute they make them all legal and lawfully able to vote. Thousands aren't already illegally voting. What's your thoughts on that, Phil?
Yeah, so I've debated that, you know, in my own mind several times. I agree with you. I have the somewhat cynical approach that there has to be an underlying reason for this, and that the only thing I can see in it is a shift in the demographics of the population, trying to shift, you know, the actual demographics. But the other is to shift the votes. Part of me, though, rationalizes that they can't possibly think that these illegals that are flooding in and will remain in illegal status are going to be able to actually vote in some capacity during this coming midterm election in such a way to keep them in power. Because as soon as the midterms happen and we gain the majority in the House and Senate, I guarantee you, action is going to change at the southern border. And they're not going to be able to stop it.
When I said long game, I really do mean long game.
You mean long game, yeah.
Yeah, the intention since pretty much the beginning of the Obama administration was to get them in the country, get them dependent upon good stuff, certainly a better way of life, but also free stuff at the taxpayers' expenses. And then, gratefully, once they're all made citizens by the millions and millions, they will naturally vote Democrat for life. And I believe that is not just a long game, but that is the game. There's no other rational reason why you would want people unvetted for disease and or egregious, felonious criminal records to come streaming in here, unless you thought somehow or another that was going to keep you in power for the rest of your days. And, of course, your pockets lined with gold.
The other thing that and by the way, to that point, let me jump on that first. To that point, one of the things that I keep hearing, and I agree with it, though, is that the Latino population pretty much everywhere tends to be more family oriented. They tend to have a strong work ethic. They tend to be people who don't lean towards those policies that the Democrats largely espouse, other than the open border issue. And so I wonder if that will truly play out. But then, you know, the other piece of this is I can't help but think that there's this far more evil possibility, and that is that the conspiracy side of me says there are people who would love to undermine the stability of the United States as a whole. Not just the votes, not just the political power, but to actually undermine the actual fabric of the country, destabilize it to the point that it is no longer solvent, if you will. And so I look at this and go, that's a
valid point, and it speaks to something we chatted on briefly last week, and that's in Barack Obama's many autobiographies, his desire to dilute the gene pool in the United States for what he views as a predominantly Caucasian Christian nation into a more diverse nation, but also to take it down a few pegs, knock us down a few pegs because we're too boastful and arrogant in our belief in American exceptionalism. So yeah, heck yeah, you are exactly right, Phil.
All right, Sparky, great call as always, man. Appreciate you calling in, being a part of the audience. It's folks like you that make this show work. All right, that was a great segment. That was just like a whole phone call segment. Love that. We're going to continue on. We get back from this news break. Number one of the Triple Dipper, border wars. The border wars. What in the world is happening at the border? Something has got to give. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Time now, 3:08. By the way, top of the next hour, you're going to want to stay tuned because Congressman Mo Brooks is scheduled to be with us. We'll talk about some things that are happening, not the least of which is the fact that the Biden administration just started going after guns again. I mean, you know, and by the way, it's political theater. What does it mean, going after ghost guns? That's really going to stop crime. I mean, do you know what it takes for someone to order parts and build a weapon? Do you think criminals are really going to take the time for that? No, they're not. Other things are happening, like I think Mo Brooks just signed on to a letter with a number of other congressmen asking for Merrick Garland, Attorney General Merrick Garland, to appoint a special counsel to investigate Hunter Biden. I'm not holding my breath on that, but I do believe it needs to happen. All right, back to number one of the Triple Dipper. Let me just say this. There's some statistics that I'm about to read to you. This is like one of those things where it's like, trigger alert, stand by, you're not going to like this, but this is legit. Where did I get this? Where did I get what I'm about to read to you? I got it straight off the customsandborderpatrol.gov website, cbp.gov. You can go to cbp.gov, go to Southwest Land Border Encounters, and there's all of the stats, bar charts, all of it. Little graphs, neat colors. You ready? Here we go. 2020. Fiscal year 2020, if you will. Fiscal year 2020, the last year of the Trump administration. Border apprehensions, excuse me, but call them border encounters. Border encounters were at 458,088. 458,088. Still too much, but by comparison to where we are today, well, that was the last year of the Trump administration. The first year of the Biden administration. And by the way, I will take it back. There were a couple of months of fiscal year 2021 in which Trump was still in office. You can look at the numbers. They remained lower. The very first month that Biden took office, February of 2021, we had a significant increase, almost a 40% increase in border encounters in the first month. They went from an average of 73,000, 74,000 per month. To the very first month, they went to 101,000. A few months later, they were up at 213,000. Do you know that? So 458,000 border encounters was the number that the CBP reports for the last year of the Trump administration. The first year of the Biden administration, it was 1.734 million in the first year. Do you see the, exponential increase? The border encounters literally more than tripled. More than tripled. Well, that was fiscal year 2021. We are only in fiscal year 2022. The status of it right now, the data is reported through February, so they fall about a month or so behind in terms of their reporting. But as of the end of February for fiscal year 2022, we are already at 838,685. Do you hear what I'm saying? In the first 4 months of this year, it doubled the full last year of the Trump administration on border encounters. That ought to tell you a lot right there. And that's straight from the Customs and Border Patrol's website. Okay, listen. This is becoming a bipartisan issue. Representative Cuellar, who I believe is of Arizona, and Arizona Senator Mark Kelly, both Democrats, have said something's got to change. One of the things they're most concerned about is the fact that the Biden administration, despite calling for more COVID protocols in certain places, calling for additional funding from Congress for COVID, they're reducing the COVID protocols at the border, making it much harder for the Border Patrol to work. So a report off of local news, KTAR, out of Arizona, dated this past Friday, I believe. U.S. Senator Mark Kelly of Arizona said Wednesday the Biden administration's decision to lift a public health ban on asylum seekers at the southern border is a really bad idea for now, he said. He said it'll be a crisis on top of a crisis. He says that literally this is something that is going to wind up hurting his constituents. A Democrat said that, who, by the way, is joined by his Democrat fellow Senator Kyrsten Sinema. Copper clip two, you still good to go on clip two? Let me know on the board as you are. Thank you so much. Always on top of it. So clip two, this is former Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf talking about how the Biden administration has apparently just broken the border. Clip two, Copper, go ahead and play it.
What I would say is they broke it. The Biden administration broke an effective immigration and border security regime that was in place at the end of the Trump administration. We gave them a playbook to tell them what works, what is working, and you saw illegal apprehension numbers at the lowest that they have ever been. And they decided to throw that playbook out and break the system. And so what I would tell them and what I would recommend is go back to effective programs and policies that work. There are out there. You don't need Congress to act. Congress acting would be nice. But in the absence of that, you can do things. The administration has the power to solve this crisis today. They won't make the hard decisions, and they won't do the difficult work of deterring illegal activity along that border. Instead, they have gone back, for whatever reason, to this failed catch-and-release program that we know doesn't work, that the vast majority of Americans don't want to see.
So listen, we're already seeing this happen in Alabama. It's already taking effect on life in Alabama as we know it. Etowah County, over in the northeastern part of the state where Gadsden is. Etowah County, the Sheriff's Department, some years back, I think this is like roughly 2007, thereabouts, built a new jail facility because it had a contract with Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE. Had an ICE contract. ICE is in charge of the detention of the illegal immigrants that CBP encounters and arrests. The ICE contract was a major win for Etowah County. A brand new jail facility, state of the art. I want to say it's like 7 stories tall. It's bigger than some of our state facilities. Can house up to 900 prisoners. A big chunk of that was ICE prisoners. And that contract was rescinded and pulled The announcement came out, I think it was Friday a week ago. That's 40 deputies, correction officers' jobs that went away because the Biden administration does not intend to house more illegal immigrants. What are they doing with them? We have more of them than ever, but we're housing less of them than ever. Why would that be? It's because the Biden administration is back to catch and release. That's what they're doing. Right here in our communities, we're seeing the loss of jobs in our Alabama communities. We're seeing the loss of contracts that support local governments in our communities. We're seeing right now an article here. This one came off of Fox News, dated April 5th. It's the Texas mayor in a small town. Oh, gosh, what's the name of the town? Uvalde. It's Uvalde, Texas, on the border, who says he is literally having to be forced to use local taxpayer dollars to deal with the Biden border crisis. It's causing a drain on his local tax dollars, the local revenues that his local small government uses to do things like pave roads and pay police officers, and they're getting no help from the federal government, and yet the constant influx, he says I had to take money, the county judge and I had to take money from our citizens and hire buses to haul these people from Uvalde because there's no public transportation here. They come and they drop them off and they say, you deal with it. They don't put them in the facilities that they are already under contract with. They'd rather those deputies lose their jobs. And they'd rather local taxpayers just foot the bill. Just y'all figure it out. Y'all pay for it. You can pay for it by either A, losing your job, or B, paying for your tax dollars to rent the buses and feed the people and house them or what. We don't care. Figure it out, y'all. So they don't like local control except when they need locals to take over for what they don't want to do. That's what I'm seeing. All right, folks, listen, this one deserved some time. I got a little more to go on this. We're calling it Border Wars, but right now we're going to take a break. If you want to call in on this, by the way, 866-494-9866. That's 866-494-9866, the Border Wars. What do you think about it? Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, by the way, before I go any further, let me just remind you, ZLA Solutions, I was talking to them again this morning. ZLA Solutions, I know these folks, and I know how good they are at what they do, and I also know full well they just had the biggest year they've ever had. What is it they do? They put people back to work. I'm just saying. ZLA Solutions, they are there for any number of things that you might need to help make your business better. It could be things like helping you with your logistics, helping you with your sorting and containment, helping you with quality control, but their bread and butter is also staffing. So if you are someone who is individually looking for a job, they've got a ton of them posted on their website, ZLAUSA.com. If there's a job available in North Alabama, they may well have it on their listings. A lot of them with great pay. They told me the other day they had some paying $20 an hour with benefits. So yeah, ZLAUSA.com to find a job, but if you're an employer and you need to fill out the ranks of your workforce, you need more people. They can do it. They can do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing, all of it. They are good at it. ZLA Solutions, they like to say, at ZLA, we don't make it, we make it better. That's their mission in life, y'all, to make your business better. So check them out, ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. Tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio, please. All right, so I'm finishing up this section right now on number one of the Triple Dipper, Border Wars. Did you know? Pray tell, Phil, what is it I should know? You should know this. The Obama phone has made its way back into the public arena. It is now a Biden phone. Biden administration, according to Fox News, dated April 6th, so that's, what, 5 days ago. Biden administration is giving cell phones to illegal immigrants. You can't make this crap up. The Biden administration is giving cell phones to illegal immigrants. FoxNews.com reports the White House confirmed Wednesday that illegal immigrants are being provided with electronic devices, notably cell phones, in an effort for the Biden administration to, quote, track and check in with them as they await immigration court proceedings. Sure. Sure they are. That's what they're going to do with it. Asked by Fox News White House correspondent Peter Doocy about the initiative, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said the purpose was to monitor illegal immigrants. Her quote was this: "We need to take steps to ensure that we know where individuals are and we can track and we can check in with them. Here's an idea. Don't let them loose. Or maybe a better idea. Don't let them in." Well, they go on to say, you know, we got global positioning systems. We can monitor things. You know, we can do this. When asked what about any concerns they might have that they would just throw the phones away, she very blithely looked back at Doocy and said, "Do you have a record of people throwing phones away?" He said, "I'm just asking if you have a concern." And she says, "Our concern is ensuring individuals who irregularly migrate to the United States proceed through a process." Well, there's no process. There's no process. Other things that are happening here in this whole mess at the southern border. Daily Wire reports as of this past weekend, 46,000 Cubans arrive at the southern border over a five-month period. Keep in mind, these are not just Central Americans, South Americans, Mexicans trying to leave their own country right here in the hemisphere. There are people, I want to say that last I heard, maybe it's in this article, hang on a second. Well, over 105 nationalities have been represented in the past year in the detaining of illegal immigrants. And one of those is a historic surge we're seeing right now in migrants from Cuba. It says, according to a report from the Miami Herald, over 46,000 Cuban migrants arrived at the border between Mexico and the U.S. in the past 5 months. Wow. That figure, which emerges from the most recent U.S. Customs and Border Protection data, surpasses the over 39,000 Cubans who arrived during the entire fiscal year. Oh, wow, that's the past 5 months. Okay, yeah, that's more than we had in the last year. Okay, as well as the 35,000 who came during the 1994 Muriel boat lift. Remember that one? So one of the largest blocks of individuals are Cubans coming in. Okay, FoxNews.com also reports this, and this is where I'm going to end this segment. The Heritage Foundation, I respect them greatly. The Heritage Foundation, their president, Dr. Kevin Roberts, said this past weekend that this border crisis is kind of like what I was talking with Sparky about at the beginning of the hour or the last part of the last hour. The border crisis is literally upending an American way of life, and it's getting worse. Heritage Foundation President Dr. Kevin Roberts is sounding the alarm on the border crisis, warning the migrant surge is upending the American way of life as border agents grapple with strained resources and staff shortages. And he goes on to say this is not a Democrat or Republican problem, or at least it shouldn't be. The Democrats turn it into a problem. It's really important that we understand as a people that this is changing our American way of life. And it's run by a Biden-Harris regime that actually wants illegal immigration to happen to upend that American way of life. And I agree with that. And I think that's exactly what's happening. All right, folks. Going to switch gears. Going to come back after this next break. Ukraine. What now and what next? I mean, big doings. I was just going through some of the reviews a minute ago during the break, getting ready for the next segment. Ukraine, what now and what next? Lots of things happening. Amazing what Great Britain just did. Speaking of which, did you see what Prime Minister Boris Johnson of the United Kingdom did? Yeah, that was interesting. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Stay tuned. I'll tell you all about it.